Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. Just want to make a couple announcements before we go on to the Hopi elders and their prophecies for humanity. There's a friend of mine named Emily who lives here in Seattle. She's having a few health issues recently, and I'd really love it if you could send your beautiful love, light, and positive energy to her, which I know will really help her. Also, Denise Barlett is one of the sponsors of this program, and she's a wonderful person who offers hot water healing and life coach sessions in the Portland, Oregon area. She creates customized water healing products with structured water, and she also has water workshops, and she's a certified HADO instructor. Her website is www.highhado.com. That's spelled HIGHHADO.com. And I urge you to contact her if you'd like to try one of her wonderful HADO products. Her phone number is 425-306-6316, or her email is Denise Barrett at highhado.com. That's D as in David, E-N-I-S-E dot B-A-R-R-E-T-T at highhado.com. Very briefly, I wanted to tell you about a wonderful spiritual trip that I'll be doing this year. I'll be returning to beautiful Mount Shasta, California from July 2nd through July 8th, and again from September 5th through the 11th, 2019. Mount Shasta is a very special and magical place where miracle healings do occur from the Telosians and the beautiful people of Telos and the Hollow Earth. There are 12 different dimensions. We exist here in the third. We're shifting into the fourth, and we'll go into the fifth. And the people of Telos and the Hollow Earth are located about 100 miles beneath Mount Shasta. They are in the fifth and higher dimensions. They communicate telepathically. I myself have been there many times, and their spirits actually help guide me on my show. The last time I was there, I was able to telepathically contact a UFO, a Pleiadian craft, and Adama, the high priest of Telos, actually healed the vision in both of my eyes, restoring them from 20/50 blurry, far-sighted vision in my right eye to crystal clear 20/10 vision in both eyes now. The cost is only $200 per person and includes free camping. If you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. I just returned from a beautiful trip to the Hopi people. What a wonderful people they are. And to start this segment of the program off, I'd like to play, my wonderful producer, Eric, play one or two minutes of flute music from the Hopi here, and then I'll have Eric prepare that now, and then we'll start our show. Thank you, Eric, so much for playing that. That's from a Hopi elder, grandfather on the Hopi reservation, with his beautiful flute music. I just returned today from an incredible trip to visit the Hopi Indians in Arizona, where I went there to help with clean water issues. Last year, we were able to raise a little over $30,000 to pay for clean water filters for many people on the Hopi reservation. Joining me in these efforts were Michiko Hayashi, the Modal Peace Project, who has distributed little beautiful children's books on the message from water to all the children on the Hopi Reservation, along with the wonderful Martha Childress of the Natural Choice Network. I can't say enough good things about Martha. She's a wonderful lady, as well as Leon McLaughlin of the Washington Clean Water Foundation. Both wonderful people. Leon will actually be having an event with the Hopi on October 12th And I hope you can go there. If you're interested in more details, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Now, for most of us, we take clean water. We may in the United States here take clean water for granted. But for the people living in the Hopi Reservation, it's incredible. But when I was there last week, I learned for the last 70 or 80 years, they've been drinking carcinogenic water contaminated with arsenic and radioactive uranium. Believe it or not, with no help from either the state government or U.S. government in Arizona. But there, I know that there's so many people out there, and one wonderful lady named Teresa from Idaho came forward, and she donated $30,000. And other monies came in, and so now many people in Hopi land have clean drinking water. But our work is not done. There are still people who need clean water, drinking water. And so if you'd like to donate to this effort, $125 will buy a beautiful water filter device that takes out the arsenic and the uranium out of the drinking water for the Hopi. And if for more information, you can contact the Clean Water Foundation of Washington or send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and I'll make sure that your contribution goes to the right place. You know, as I said, the kinds of things which people here in beautiful Seattle and other cities take for granted, like clean drinking water, are just not available on the Hopi, and I'm so glad that we were able to help them. We're also planning more fundraising events, and for more information, you can email me or call me at 509-750-9793. After our work is done on the Hopi Reservation, we'll also be helping the Navajo Indians as well, because they're also drinking carcinogenic and arsenic-flavored water. I mean, it's awful. You think that here in the United States we have certain standards for clean water, but for Native Americans in Arizona, they have this awful water, and a lot of them are just dying from it as well. I actually received an email yesterday from a wonderful gentleman in Victoria, Canada, and he sent me I don't know how many links to water quality issues in Canada as well, where they're also drinking arsenic and uranium flavored water as well. So it's not a localized problem. There's many Native communities throughout North America who need clean drinking water. And if you'd like to help on that, or send me ideas and links to other communities which need help, we'd love to help. Please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. One of the things which I also learned last week is that we take clean water for granted in many parts of North America here and elsewhere in the world. But in among the Hopi, they don't have a basic functioning library on the reservation. Thus, young adults, children, and adults, they have nowhere to read books. There's a small bookmobile service that goes in the reservation, but there's no central place that people can go to and check out books and learn about the world. So that's one of my next projects in the future, too, is getting a library built for the Hopi with books. And if you'd like to help, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I know there's a lot of good libraries out there who regularly discard books, and what I'd love to do is to help coordinate a project to gather up a book collection for the Hopis and also find a building down there so we can build and help raise their standard of living. I know that if we all work together, we can create a much better and happier world, because it's the destiny of this planet to evolve into the higher dimensions and to make people happy and evolve. The Hopi are really beautiful people, but they're also secretive. And their need for privacy comes from hundreds of years of exploitation and genocide. But we're making a difference today with clean water. And they also have a tradition of giving prophecies for humanity's future. One rock that I visited last week was a place called the Sacred Prophecy Rock. The rock itself is thousands of years old. And when I visited the rock last week, I meditated and put my hands on the rocks and spoke to the great Hopi elder spirits, who gave me some important messages on our future and the choices we have to make if we're going to evolve and survive. If you go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just look on our website for today's program, you'll see a picture of me at the Hopi Rock, and I'll explain some things about it. Right next to the Hopi Prophecy Rock is a Hopi village called Arabe, which was established right around 1100 AD. It's 900 years old. It's one of the oldest settlements in North America. And on the rock itself, there are five square blocks on the rock with two lines on top of the rocks. The top line has a series of human stick figures in which the line ends abruptly in a series of zigzags shortly after the fourth block. The other line just below it is a straight line that continues after the fourth block into a fifth block, and then around the rock to the other side. And you might ask, well, what does this mean exactly, and why did they write it there? I was told by the great Hopi spirits that the two lines represent the choices we have to make now to, in order for us to survive. The four blocks are four different civilizations, and the Hopi say that we are now in the fourth civilization, just going into the fifth civilization. I think this fifth civilization also has a double meaning, is that we're also entering now into a fifth-dimensional civilization from the third, and as we enter into this new higher vibrational fifth-dimensional civilization, we will learn to live in harmony with each other. However, for those who do not want to create a beautiful new planet, we could soon enter a civilization with war and destruction of ourselves and the planet. But, you know, I know that there are more good people on this planet than there are negative entities. And all of us listening today throughout the world want to create a much better and happier planet. And I know we'll make the right choices to create a much better and happier planet. Along with that also is what's called the Rainbow Prophecy. There are many prophecies and stories from the Hopi Indians, from the Zuni Indians, from the Cree Indians, and the Cherokee related to this Rainbow Prophecy. And I'd like to read something today with thanks to David Gary on his website. And the Rainbow Prophecy is that, quote, there will come a day when people of all races, colors, and creeds will put aside their differences. They will come together in love, joining hands in unification to heal the earth and all her children. They will move over the earth like a great whirling rainbow, bringing peace, understanding, and healing everywhere they go. Many key creatures thought to be extinct or mythical will resurface at this time. The great trees that perished will return almost all overnight. All living things will flourish, drawing sustenance from the breast of our mother, the earth. And with that, I'd like to play. I have a series of interviews that I did with the Hopi last week, and I'd like to play them. But before we do, I sincerely believe we are headed toward the fulfillment of this Rainbow Prophecy. As President Kennedy has told me many times before, while he was alive, he tried to create and steer the United States and planet Earth into this golden new age. And even though he was assassinated back in November 22nd, 1963, because he said that it's the destiny of this planet to become a much better and happier place. And all of us listening today, I know, sincerely want that. And as I'm speaking now, if you're seeing the show on YouTube, you can go to our website. You can go to the radio website at www.1150kknw.com. And there's this beautiful angelic light has now come into the studio. The whole place is kind of lit up. I've joked with my producer, Eric, in the past that if the station wanted to save on their electricity bill, all they'd have to do is just ask the angels to come in to generate a lot of light, angelic light, so then they wouldn't need to spend the money on electricity for lights. But we are getting a lot of angelic light and help today. But there are Hopi prophecies, and so unfortunately we have not been able to reach. I had two elders, who I hope will be still available today. I just talked to them a little more than an hour ago. Well, I wanted to start now. We'll start running these interviews that I had, and in the meantime, if we are able to reach these Hopi elders, then they'll come on live. Otherwise, we'll start playing the pre-recorded interviews that I have. And the first one, Eric, if we could play Hopi Prophecies, the time is 3 minutes and 17 seconds. I'll wait till you grab that there, and then we'll go on to the next one after that. And I'll make a short introduction. Okay, go ahead and play that.
This is where they call this the Prophecy Rock. Like I said, if you've seen this on the History Channel, the Armageddon stories, mm-hmm. and Thomas Bangakia is the one who did the filming of this Prophecy Rock. And like I said, there's different stories, different versions of the Prophecy Rock, so they're not all the same, but in a sense similar for the fact that it talks about the good way of life versus the bad way of life. Mm-hmm. So down here you have a figure of a spiritual figure, our creator, mm-hmm. who we asked permission to come onto this earth. You have the earth symbols. You have the 1, 2, 3 previous worlds, and we're now on our fourth world. Okay, so he's here holding a stick, and then he's also holding a sack here of corn. this is considered a planting stick and then the seed of corn. Mm. We made agreement with him to protect the land, take care of it, and to always plant corn, because with that someday we're going to survive. Mm. So he's the one that we asked permission to come onto this earth, and he left us with a life plan. So you see two lines here, one at the bottom going up, and this is the path of life line, where in previous worlds, life became very corrupted. If we follow nature's path of life, lived in, through nature's way of life, you're going to live a very humble, long life. And these symbols right here represent long life. They're symbols of long life. You can see another one there, right here.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's another one there. And so if you go on the good path of life, respecting everybody, being respectful, especially to yourself, everybody around you, treat Mother Nature kindly, everything, you're going to live a long life. You're going to be balanced, humble, where you'll grow so old, where you're hunchback with a cane. And as you can see, the line goes all the way to the back.
Oh, yes, it
meaning
does.
You're going to have a very long life if you live on the good path. Then you have the top section that shows men figures at the top and the zigzag.
Yeah.
This is the path where a lot of us tend to go the good path, and then all of a sudden we fall off. Oh, we start doing drugs, alcohol.
Oh.
We start cheating, doing different things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bad path. And if you continue to be corrupted in a sense, you're not going to live long. So you see,
so
where
it
ends,
stops.
It zigzags and then it stops.
It zigzags, saying you go on the right path, then you fall off.
Oh,
then you come back on, and then you go back off.
On Estewa, a Hopi elder there on the Hopi reservation. I have a second part of this interview now. I'd like to, Eric, if you could please play that, and then we'll come right back to explain more.
Okay, so at some point they said we're going to come to Purification Day.
Mm.
And with that, knowing that, and that's what we're always being taught, you know, that we need to be good people, take care of ourselves, live the good life, mm-hmm. because someday we're going to come to that point of purification.
Well, do you know when?
No.
You don't know when.
There are signs that will show when we are getting close,
okay,
like
kind of
the tornadoes,
uh-huh.
the fires, the hurricanes.
Well, right
we're
now.
Right in that state where there are really signs really showing.
Yeah.
So in November, we have our men's ceremony, and if you see the three figures holding each other's, they're singing about the females, all their wrongdoings, and telling them that, you know, singing a song saying you're doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm. So the women singing? Or
the men, the women society mm-hmm. does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
In September, we have our women's society.
Mm-hmm.
They sing about the men to keep them in balance.
Yeah.
In November, the men sing about the women to keep us in line. So you're trying to keep
yeah.
the balance of
between
like, if you're doing wrong, let's fix it.
Yeah.
That's how you're supposed to look at it.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's what this is symbolizing here.
That's beautiful.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And here used to be a like almost like a rattle design. It's
mm-hmm.
a four directional migration symbol here. And then.
So was it more clear?
Yeah, before? It used to be clearer before, but like there's a lot of vandalism going on right now.
Oh, what a shame.
People are scratching into this.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of them are saying that the Navajos are coming and destroying it because of the history this holds. And so they're destroying a lot of our petroglyphs throughout the whole Four Corners States area.
Why would the Navajo want to destroy these petroglyphs?
Because archaeologists are finding out that the Hopis were here way earlier than they were.
I see.
So they're kind of destroying the evidence that shows that.
I see. Well, that's too bad. There's another petroglyph I see over here. Do you know much about that petroglyph?
It looks more like of a Kachina figure, but I can't really discuss anything on that.
Oh, sure.
Because of
that's
the...
fine.
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's fine.
So do you guys have any questions? Is my story similar to what Vernon?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
He has always said to Dr. Emoto, too. He was in Japan, and Dr. Emoto and Vernon co-authored, and it's what he told us was exactly the same as what you said. So, I believe in that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the at the end of this, if you lead a good life or humble life with good values for the planet, it looks like it goes on forever, doesn't
it? Yeah, but see, you're going to get to old age, and the best way to live this world is when you just go to sleep.
I see.
That means...
I see.
When you just go to sleep as an elder. Because you've followed the good path.
The good path.
You didn't do no suffering of any sort. You just went to sleep.
Interesting. Okay. Okay.
That line continues on the other side of the rock pit.
Yes, I want to see that line here. This line continues. Goes all the way over to the end. I see. Okay. Okay. Interesting.
The first world, the second world, the third world?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Well, there's the earth. And see, we ask permission to live on the earth.
Yes.
That's why this is right here.
Oh, and interesting.
When we came, he was the only one here.
He meaning?
Our deity.
Our
Asa,
deity. I see.
Was the only one here.
What was the name of your deity again? Sorry?
We'll just leave it at that.
Okay, that's fine. If I'm asking too many questions, you tell me. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. What wisdom this has. And now, is this fertility symbol with the circle going through a line through it? Is that right? No? Okay. Okay. That's fine.
It's more symbolizing the earth, the previous earth.
There. I see.
And this is the earth, right?
Yeah.
That's the earth.
So this
there's
is one, the two, three of them.
Yeah.
I see.
And right now we're in our fourth
one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So here, like I said, that's the corrupted pathway. Right there.
But how can we live, how can everyone on this earth to live well?
Each culture has the values of life. Every culture has it. And that's what we should be following, especially taking care of oneself. That's where it begins. Eating the right foods, exercising, always moving.
Treating Mother Planet, Gaia, like you love her.
Yes, and respecting.
Being humble.
Yes.
Being truthful.
Yes.
Yeah.
All the
no good deceiving values. Anyone. No.
Exactly.
Being distrust.
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. You've given us such beautiful words. I do see other petroglyphs, and would love to get your advice on that as well.
Okay, friends, that was an interview with Ida Hanestua, a Hopi elder. I also have one more to play, and then I've got a lot of things to add to that. Ernest Tahoe, Hopi Prophecies. We tried to reach. I did talk to Ernest before going on the show, But we tried to call him now for a live interview. Unfortunately, the cell reception on the Hopi Land Reservation is not very good, but he's welcome to call in if he's listening. Anyway, Eric, if you could please play his segment. It's 2 minutes and 40 seconds. That'd be great.
Ernest, you were just talking about the Hopi prophecies. Could you explain a little bit of that to my listeners, please?
Yes. What we were talking about, our discussion was started to talk about the prophecy rock and the direction this world is headed to. In the beginning, we were taught when Hopi first arrived to the reservation, they were met with the creator of the land, which was called Masau, and he was the one that allowed the Hopi people to stay in the area, and the only way he would allow them to do is that they had to promise that they were would take care of the land, be stewards of the land, basically more or less watch over the area. Thank you. And we were to take care of the area and watch over it, and there was rules to that, and we had to live by his ways, which was in which we were given a planting stick, some corn seeds, and a gourd of water. And with those, we were to live the way Masao taught us how to live on this land. And according to the prophecy rock, we have gone astray from of what our teachings were. So on the etching that's on the rock, you have one main path, which has figurines on it showing people that we're supposed to be following one way. Then it just branches off into a second path, and that's basically the path that this world is taking. We're not following the right rules that we were given to take care of the planet, or in other words, Mother Earth. So what we need to do is incorporate, the way I was taught is that we were supposed to incorporate our Hopi science into our technological science nowadays, rather than one lead in front of the other. They're supposed to walk together. And with that, we're supposed to come back into the main path once again, and that way we continue to protect the earth and live harmoniously with all the creatures as well. And that way we can save the water, which, you know, sustains life in this world.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ernest. Those were wonderful words of wisdom.
We're still trying to reach Ernest Tahoe down at the Hopi Reservation. The cell reception is sometimes not very good. I just spoke to Ernest about less than 2 hours ago, but that's okay. What I'd like to do is read some quotes from another wonderful fellow named Gary David, who did also interviewed some of the Hopi elders here several years ago. His website, if you want more information, is www.road, and then the number 2, ruins, ruins.com/Hopi prophecy. Mr. David writes, like the Maya, among the Hopi once lived and whom they later traded, the Hopi conceptualized the cycles of time as world ages. The Hopi believe that we have suffered 3 previous world cataclysms. The first world was destroyed by fire, a comet, an asteroid strike, and a number of volcanic eruptions. The second world was destroyed by ice, a great ice age. And the third world was destroyed by a deluge of water. And he writes that these global destructions were not the result of merely random earth changes, but rather the spiritual dictates of the Creator to shake us up and hopefully propel us to spiritual growth. If you look at the Hopi rock, there are 5, there's 4 boxes with a 5th box off to the right. And many Hopi today believe, according to this prophecy rock, that we are actually in the 4th world, now shifting into the 5th world. And when they talk about the 5th world, I look at that as a double entendre, or having a double meaning, and not only shifting into a 5th world, but also a 5th dimensional world, where we will leave this 3rd dimension behind. And I think we can see that happening now. The sad thing about Hopi is that they have a drug problem now on the reservation with meth and other drugs. As young people fail to learn their beautiful cultural history, language, and spiritual teachings, and also the effects of hundreds of years of exploitation and genocide have taken a toll on the Hopi, but they still have a very important message for us. And there is a quote he has from Dan Kanjolchava, the Sun Clan leader from the village of Hotavilla, who died at the age of 112. About 20 years ago, and he writes, we have teachings and prophecies informing us that we must be alert for the signs and omens which will come about to give us strength, courage, and courage to stand up for our beliefs. This has all been planned from the beginning of creation. Then he writes, when earthquakes, floods, hailstorms, drought, and famine will be the life of every day, the time will come either for a return to the true path or going the zigzag way, which will mean extinction. The zigzag way refers to the line on the prophecy rock, in which case the line itself starts zigzagging and then terminates on the rock, which means that we will end our existence here. But I think most people want to create a beautiful and harmonious planet in harmony with Mother Earth, and say we will choose the path that we're supposed to choose. He writes that the other upper path, the zigzag path, which is to extinction, is divorced from the natural world and totally immersed in the synthetic manufactured reality of iPhones and computers. It's a lifestyle which the Hopi calls a world out of balance, or a life of moral corruption and turmoil. The lower way, rooted in earth-based rhythms, finds solace and spiritual sustenance from corn pollen, working with the Great Spirit, loving the Mother Earth and Gaia, and working in accordance with the Creator of Great Spirit here on the planet. The other rainbow prophecy, which I mentioned before, I think will come about because most people are realizing today that we are all one. And if you hurt each other and you hurt the planet, all you're doing is hurting yourself. With that, I have some other recorded interviews I'd like to play now. This one's from Ernest Tahoe. It's a short one. Ernest Tahoe on water. Water is very sacred, and to the Hopi, water is life, and also water is God as well, and God is water. There's not a lot of water on the Hopi reservation. They mostly do what's called dry farming, where they simply plant their seeds about this time of year. They were planting last week when I was there, and they simply wait for the rain to come. And they don't do irrigation, but they're very simple farmers, but so they respect nature. But I'd like to play this first segment, followed by two more segments. The Ernest Tahoe Water one, that's about a minute long. Eric, thank you so much for playing that.
Okay, what I was explaining to is kind of a lot of the health issue that's going on. We're starting to see like a lot of the youth becoming ill with the sickness. Not too long ago, I think last year, one young individual was diagnosed with cancer. And so right now she's going through radiation treatment, chemo. And, going through that, it's not really no fun deal, because my wife has also been diagnosed with cancer, but where she's in recovery, so we're praying and, you know, everything stays good so far. So right now that's what we're trying to get this arsenic issue addressed through this water filter project, to help the people from becoming ill.
That's wonderful, Ernest. Well, we appreciate your help so much.
Mm-hmm. You're very welcome, and very appreciated to the organizations that are helping with this project.
Great, Ernest. Thank you so much for telling us about that.
As I said before, the clean drinking water that many of us unfortunately take for granted here in the United States and Canada is simply not available among the Hopis, and but we're working to change that. There's a second part of this interview now, Eric, if you could play. It's the interview on 424-19 for about a little over 3 minutes, and then we'll come right back.
Hello, friends. I'm with a gentleman named Ernest Tahoe at the Walpole Village here at the First Mason Hopi Reservation in Arizona. And Ernest, you've done a lot of work with water right now. What are you doing now as far as, what kind of plan do you have for the people of this area for clean water?
Currently, at the moment, we're starting this No Arsenic for Hopi project through the Clean Water Foundation, the Natural Choice Network, and of course your show, Ted. Mm-hmm. We're trying to bring awareness to our situation here in Hopi, both in the First Mesa and Second Mesa area. What we're doing is addressing this issue by raising funds to purchase water filter units for both areas. First Mesa has arsenic 3, Second Mesa has arsenic 5. Both are highly toxic, but arsenic being the more serious of the two. So what we're doing is trying to get the filters for the community members by raising funds through concerts, benefit dinners, t-shirt sales, anything pretty much to raise funds and awareness to address this issue here in Hopi.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. You know, it's ironic. We passed the health center, which is funded by the Bureau of Indian Affairs here in Hopi. Currently, they're the only ones who have clean water in the area provided by the federal government, other than the water filters that we've been getting to the people here.
Yeah, they have their own filter system. I believe it's an RO system, just as the Kemos Canyon area. They have a RO system, which is a reverse osmosis, and that is addressing the arsenic and uranium issues that way. Yeah. But like I said, we're trying to address our issues here through a community movement and through your organizations as well as the Clean Water Foundation.
Yeah. Well, good. Ernest, water is very sacred here, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's pretty much important, and it holds a lot of information, actually, and we do need it as far as to sustain life out here.
Wonderful. How people can help you? Is there a way they can contact the Clean Water Foundation or perhaps write you?
Yes, they can. They can get a hold of the Clean Water Foundation at www.cleanwaterfoundationwa.org, or you can email me for more information at etaho4444@gmail.com.
Thank you so much for coming on my show today. Ernest, you're doing wonderful work.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you again, my friend.
So they've been, they've been battling this issue for some time. But I'm so glad. I appreciate Teresa from Idaho for giving that donation for $30,000 so much, because it's made a real difference in the lives of the Hopi there. And for those who'd like to donate to help them with additional clean water efforts, just please send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com. The donations should be made to the Clean Water Foundation of Washington, and any donation to them is fully tax deductible, because it's a 501c3 nonprofit organization. With that, I have a last interview with Patrick, with the Hopi Water interview. It's about a little over 4 minutes. He talks about the sacredness of water on the Hopi Reservation, and I think you'll find it very enlightening. And then we'll come back after Eric, if you could play his short clip.
Hello, friends. I'm at the Wapati village here in Hopi on the First Mesa. It's a beautiful place. You can see out for so many miles in any direction, probably 15 to 20 miles north, south, and west at this location. I'm with Patrick, who lives here, and we want to talk about some water issues. Patrick, thank you so much for coming on my show today.
Thank you. My name is Patrick Kowisa Jr. I'm from the Wapati village, and water is very sacred to us. We are Hopi dry farmers, and we depend on the rain for our crops. And we have all the symbols on our Hopi designs. The water is very sacred. We use to wash the babies, the newborn babies' hair. We also use it to cleanse our spirits, and we have different ceremonies in our different solstices of the month. We go by the moon every beginning of the month of a new moon, and there were our water table. We depend on the spring water, and our water table has been very low recently due to the Peabody coal mine nearby, and there has been issues of different types of minerals of arsenic and might be cancerous. And we were concerned, and I do not believe anything is being quite done at this point. And the springs have been very low, and the villages have been putting in water systems. The elderly have been traditional. They do not want the running water in their homes. And all the water of the different ceremonies, they bring the rain, which cleanses our spirit. And any question?
You mentioned before, Patrick, about how some of the populations of the local people here have been depleted by the arsenic water. Does that mean that they're dying as a result of drinking this arsenic-flavored water?
Not quite dying from the water. It's making the people sick. For a while, they had the water shut down, and we had to have water brought into us. And I'm not sure what the Hopi tribe is doing for us now. And all they have done was put in new water lines for us. And
I see. Patrick, would you like to see, has Peabody Mining offered any help in cleaning up the water?
There was very little help, and the Peabody has been shutting down, and they were very concerned about our water level and our tables, and I'm not sure if that's going to start collapsing from the water table down from the earth.
Okay. Well, Patrick, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and knowledge with all my listeners today. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much again, Patrick.
That was an interview I had with Patrick Hoviska, a member of the, I believe he's on the second Mesa. He lives you should see this area. It's so incredibly beautiful. The mesa itself is about maybe a quarter to a half mile high off the floor of this valley. And once you're up there, you can see literally for 15 or 20 miles in any direction. It's a beautiful spiritual place. Many of the homes there have no electricity or running water. They get their water from a from a central well located on in the middle of the village. And they've lived this way for the past 900 to 1,000 years, totally unchanged. One of the things they do in this village is that they have ceremonies. One ceremony, for example, occurs every 2 years. Other ceremonies occur annually. And they said that these ceremonies itself keep the tribe in balance, but also helps keep the earth in balance, too. They're very beautiful people. They're very humble. They spend a lot of time in prayer and meditation. One of the biggest problems with of course living there now is the water supply. Many of them are getting sick and dying from arsenic and uranium in the water itself. Peabody Mining has in the past pumped water out of the aquifer in the area for decades for their coal mining operations. And there's a new company called Energy Fuels Incorporated from Canada. Which is now doing uranium mining on the Hopi and Navajo reservations. There are more than 500 abandoned mines, uranium mines, on the Navajo reservation, and that has caused many people to die of radiation from the uranium mining. During the Cold War, there was a big demand for nuclear weapons, and companies extracted millions of tons of uranium across Navajo territory. Water resources were contaminated by the radiation, and cleanup of many sites has been inadequate. I mean, how do you clean an aquifer, for example, of uranium when the water's been mostly depleted by these private companies, and the people living there are left with very little water? What water they do get is pumped out of the bottom of the aquifer, where often there's a lot of arsenic and a lot of radiation. What was interesting is that there's a native health center, as I mentioned in my interview, called the Hopi Health Center. It's run by the federal U.S. government, Bureau of Indian Affairs, and that's they all of the nurses and doctors at this facility have clean water because they have their own water purification system. It's called RO, or reverse osmosis. But barely a quarter of a mile away, there's a place where the natives, the people living on the Hopi Reservation, get their water from a windmill that pumps the water up from the aquifer. But the tests have been done on that water, and none of it's clean. I mean, when you drink that water, you get cancer and you get arsenic poisoning. But yet the federal government doesn't do anything about it. So we've stepped in, and this is part of our efforts to provide clean water to the Hopi. The other problems with drinking this arsenic and uranium contaminated water is kidney failure. A lot of people are on dialysis in the Hopi area, especially the elders, because their systems can't handle the contaminants. And the kidneys themselves start to shut down after decades of drinking this contaminated water. So any help you'd like to give would be really appreciated. It's appalling, in my view, to have this kind of treatment to these beautiful people in a country such as the United States, which clearly has the resources to help its fellow citizens with something simple, what I think is clean water. The Hopi are keepers of this beautiful prophecies, in which case they've said before on their prophecy rock that we actually have two choices. And when I was meditating at the prophecy rock last week, these great elder spirits came to me. They said that they had put the prophecies there. They had etched these petroglyphs on the rocks about 4,000 years ago because they could see into the future and see what kind of choices. And those messages are us for all of us today listening to on this show, that we really have two choices. We can either take one choice, which is living in harmony with the planet and loving Mother Earth, and that's the straight line, as you can if you look at my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and click on today's show, you'll see this picture, and the line goes on forever. It goes on not only at the face of the rock, but around it as well, and we can all live in a beautiful, harmonious planet. And this is the kind of world that President Kennedy was trying to create back in November of 1963 when he was unfortunately assassinated. But he's also told me that because it's the destiny of this planet to live in harmony with each other and live in harmony with Mother Earth, he knows that we're going to make the right choices and become a beautiful, harmonious planet where we will have love and respect for one another, and we'll stop this silly silly conflicts that we do have and silly wars, because when you hurt each other, you're just hurting yourself, he's told me. The other second path, of course, that the great spirits of the Hopi wanted me to tell you about today is the path above that straight line, which is a series of zigzag lines which suddenly terminates in extinction. I don't think that'll happen, because I think cumulatively we can make the right choices to make this planet a much better place. The destiny of this planet, as I said, is to become a loving, benevolent, and kind civilization. And there's no reason for any of us to live without clean water in a great country like the United States. There's no reason for the government not to pay for clean water. But we've gone on with our own private efforts, and I know there's a lot of really good people out there who do want to help. The other interesting thing I found there, of course, is that there's no libraries on the Hopi Reservation. There's no central public library for anybody. And for those living here in the United States and Canada and elsewhere around the world who have libraries, you know what a great resource that is, to have books, to be able to read, to educate yourself, to learn about the world around you. But for the Hopi, there's just nothing there. They have a bookmobile, a small one that goes around different parts of the reservation, but there's no central authority, and there's no vast area where people can actually read. So it's if they can't read, they can't improve themselves. I haven't checked into the life expectancy on the Hopi reservation, but I expect with these kind of health conditions that it's lower than the rest of society around it. But I hope you can help. The purpose of this program, of course, is to raise consciousness and make this planet a better place. And I know that everyone listening today wants to make this world a much better place. I will probably be going back to the Hopi again this October and again next year. We'll be having a big fundraiser on the Hopi Land area on October 12th with the help of Leon McLaughlin of the Clean Water Foundation and Martha Childress of the Natural Choice Record Network. And your help will really help. They have a ceremonial cycle on the Hopi to keep themselves not only in balance, but the whole world in balance. And it's funny about the Hopi, too, because they are very secretive and private people. When you ask the Hopi, if you go down there and you ask them about when they have their ceremonies, and you ask them if there's anything on the internet, they don't publish anything. You have to ask a Hopi elder about it, and then he'll tell you about it. But they don't publicize any of these events because they want it's only for a few that they feel who will benefit from these. From these ceremonies. They're very private people, and they don't open up normally to outsiders. But they say that we've reached a crisis point right now. And one of the questions that came in during my last hour's interview with Simon was what was the meaning of all these different storms happening across the United States? I guess there's been something like 50 tornadoes going across the United States in the last couple of weeks. That's significant. And I know there's been a lot of crazy weather. This is Mother Earth's, Gaia's way to wake up humanity, is that things are not right. We cannot continue with polluting the planet, especially with genetically modified crops from Monsanto and Bayer. The crops themselves are totally out of balance with the Earth. And it's like the Hopi said, there's more to life than just iPhones and this surrealistic view of reality. We need to get back to nature and get back to caring for Mother Earth, because we have a beautiful and happy future ahead of all of us if we only make the right choices. That's why I established my radio show back about 5.5-6 years ago, to make this planet a better place and to educate people on the choices that they have to make in order to evolve and ascend into the higher dimensions. We also have lots of angels around us helping us. President Kennedy has told me he's never stopped being our president on the other side. And his efforts, he's tirelessly working for peace along with his brother, Senator Robert F. Kennedy. And they all the spirits tell me on the other side that they're not dead. They're still very much alive, as well as Professor Albert Einstein, my good friend who I talk to regularly. And that we have a beautiful future ahead of us as long as we make the right choices. One of the things that I've said this before, that when I first contacted Nostradamus about 4 years ago now, he had a blank. He had all these. I saw him back in France in December 1540. It was a cold day in France, and he had his fire going behind him, and he had this floppy burgundy hat on with a floppy burgundy cape around him, and he looked at me and he said, he said he was tearing up all his old quatrains about World War III and destruction of planet Earth. And he looked at me, and he had this blank parchment looking at me and his quill pen. He was getting ready to write, and he asked me, he said, what kind of world will you and your friends create there in the 20th and 21st centuries? And I said to him, well, we'd love to create a beautiful planet based on harmony, love, and respect, where people get along in a true new golden age. And he looked at me, and he said, well, you better get busy. So that's why I've been busy ever since. Since that time, the good news is that he has started writing new quatrains, not about war, death, and destruction, but of a new golden age of world peace. And this is the kind of world now we can look forward to, not only for our children and but our children's children for many future generations to come. Because I think we've all turned the corner on this planet. I know that the listener base for my show has gone astronomically upward. I'm so happy that that Out of This World Radio is now one of the fastest growing spiritual programs in the world. But more than that, I know many people around the earth are waking up, and it's just a matter of time before we will enter into this new fifth dimension. In the past, Simon and I have talked about when the dates of this shift will be into the fifth dimension. Originally, about 15, 20 years ago, the date as suggested by Nostradamus was the year 2038. Then about 5 years ago, it shifted to 2028. Last year, it shifted down to 2025. And now my guides tell me that the date for shifting into this next fifth dimension will be 2023, which is only now about 4 years away. And with that, I want to thank everyone's listening so much today for listening. Next week, we'll be having James Redfield of the Celestine Prophecies on. He's a famous author, And I'm so happy he's coming on, well, along with some other spiritual people. So if we could play the water song, Eric, if you don't mind, toward the end now. And I hope you all have a beautiful and happy day. And I want to thank you, everyone, so much for listening again to Out of This World Radio. Thank you again, everyone. Have a beautiful and happy weekend. Thank you again. Bye-bye.